Well, next to Gaza, five Al Jazeera journalists have been killed in an Israeli strike near Gaza City's Al Shifa hospital. Al Jazeera says it was a targeted assassination by the IDF. Israel says it was targeting the head of a Hamas terrorist cell. Now, this comes as international pressure is growing on Israel over its plan for a full military takeover of Gaza. And at a press conference last night, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claimed the military expansion is the best way to end the war.
Our goal is not to occupy Gaza. Our goal is to free Gaza, free it from Hamas terrorists. The war can end tomorrow if Gaza, or rather if Hamas, lays down its arms and releases all the remaining hostages. Gaza will be demilitarized. Israel will have overriding security responsibility. A security zone will be established on Gaza's border with Israel to prevent future terrorist incursions. A civilian administration will be established in Gaza that will seek to live in peace with Israel.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu also discussed Germany's recent decision to halt arms exports to Israel.
Look, I respect Friedrich Merz. I think he's been a good friend of Israel, but I think he's buckled under the pressure of false TV reports, the pressure, internal pressure from various groups. I can say this, and I don't want to talk about him specifically, but I want to say this. Look, maybe some choose to forget October 7th. We will not forget what happened. And we will do whatever it takes to defend our country and defend our people, defend our future. We will win the war, with or without the support of others.
As you just heard in the bulletin, five Al Jazeera journalists have been killed in an Israeli strike near Gaza's Al Shifa hospital. This comes as international pressure is growing on Israel over its plan for a full military takeover of Gaza. Well, for more on this, we're joined now by the Independent's World Affairs editor, Belle True. Belle, let's start with this strike and the five Al Jazeera journalists. What exactly happened?
Well, I was actually speaking to the director of Shifa Hospital, which is where the strike took place last night. And he told me that the journalists, there was a total of seven who were killed, including a passersby, but the journalists had been sheltering in a tent within the medical complex. And it came under a direct Israeli strike, killing everyone instantly. Immediately afterwards, there were extremely distressing images shared from the scene showing torched and bloodied bodies of the journalists. Al Jazeera confirmed that they had been killed. One of the most prominent voices for the network, who has, you know, tirelessly documented the horrors of Gaza, and Anas al-Sharif was among the five that were killed. And also, I was told that part of the medical complex was also damaged. The Israeli military claimed responsibility, saying that he was part of Hamas. But this comes after multiple messages of concern for Anas from the Committee to Protect Journalists and even the UN Special Rapporteur for Freedom of Expression, who said that the Israeli military had engaged in a smear campaign designed to silence one of the few voices in northern Gaza documenting the slaughter and the mass starvation. So it is deeply alarming. This is not an isolated incident. I believe that as many as 10 Al Jazeera journalists have now been killed in Israeli strikes, including family members family members of Al Jazeera journalists. The Committee to Protect Journalists Reporters Without Borders estimates that over 200 journalists in Gaza have been killed in Israeli strikes. It is the most deadly place in the planet to be a reporter.
The plan for the military takeover of Gaza, let's go back to that. We've been talking about it for nearly a week now. Remind us of what's in the plan.
Well, Benjamin Netanyahu actually held a press conference for foreign media yesterday where he hammered down on this plan that he claimed was the only way to end the war in Gaza. He has said with his security cabinet that they will basically expand the already devastating offensive in Gaza and push into the last remaining percentages of the enclave they don't basically control already. It looks like that's going to start with a massive offensive on Gaza City, which is the largest city in Gaza, and also where this strike on journalists just happened. From sources that I spoke to who were briefed on the Security Council meeting that took place at the end of last week, they told me that all the citizens will be forced to move down to the south or the centre of Gaza in evacuation orders. And there may even be a siege laid on Gaza City before the troops effectively go in. This plan also talks about Israel having security control of Gaza, which is obviously deeply alarming. And, you know, already Israel controls or has military boots on the ground or evacuation orders over 86% of Gaza already. So we're just talking about a few, you know, patches of the strip which aren't already under their control, where people are already corralled into, who've been displaced multiple times already.
And the 800,000 people in Gaza City, where will they move?
They, from what I've been told, is that they will be expected to move to the centre and the south. But to be clear, that is already overwhelmed with people and also under bombardment. I saw it from the sky aboard a Jordanian military plane. The areas like Al-Mawasi, which has been labelled a so-called humanitarian zone, even though it's come under repeated strikes. And there is no space. There are tents reaching out into the horizon already of families displaced from other parts of Gaza. So I don't even know where these people are going to go. And certainly the civilians on the ground I'm talking to have no idea and are terrified.
International pressure is growing. EU foreign ministers will meet later today to discuss this. Germany has halted arms exports. The UK and France are warning the Israeli plan risks violating international humanitarian law. Will all this have a bearing on what happens next?
Well, you would expect it to, but I think the one ally that is the closest and the largest weapon supplier for Israel that could perhaps have, you know, the leverage to be able to change this decision would be the US. And so far, they've basically tacitly approved this plan. But there's also a lot of resistance coming from within Israel. On Saturday night, I was in Tel Aviv. There were tens of thousands of people gathering in Tel Aviv and across other cities calling for an immediate ceasefire and the return of the hostages. The families of the hostages and captives said that this plan was a death sentence. That's a direct quote from one family member. And they, you know, they even called for a general strike and for soldiers to refuse to serve.
So growing opposition in Israel. U2 frontman Bono says he feels revulsion for the moral failure in Gaza. Briefly, how has that been viewed there?
Well, I think there's, there's a lot of fear amongst the Israeli population of Israel becoming an international pariah. And so there is criticism of people who are sort of, you know, criticizing Israel externally. But there's also, as I said, growing alarm from amongst the Israeli population who are fed up of the war after 22 months, who are concerned about the comparatively high death toll of Israeli soldiers, which is something Israel is not used to, and also the lengthy call-ups for reservists. So I think people are very alarmed within Israel about what's happening, and also deeply concerned about the impact on the hostages and the captives, and they're concerned about growing international, you know, pressure. There is a real alarm here that Israel is becoming, as I said, an international pariah, and people want this to stop.
Belle Drew from The Independent, thanks for joining us this morning. It's now 7:47.